Welcome to the Stripe Show podcast. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Now, if you follow me closely, you know I'm a huge fan of the Pat McAfee Show and two guys that make it all come together. I got to know them a little bit last year, and that is Ty Schmidt and Evan Fox. I call them two legs of the dream team. Pat McAfee on fire in social media, TV, you name it. He is all over the place, and these guys help him bring it all together. They got a lot to say. They love golf. They love sports. I want to get right to it here on the Stripe Show with Ty Schmidt and Evan Fox.
All right. Well, let's welcome him in. I labeled it the dream team. And I saw Pat's tweet about it, and I figured he would agree because I know you guys have assembled a great team there, and are all systems go and growing. Welcome in Ty Schmidt, producer of the Pat McAfee Show, and then also Evan Fox, which is on his Twitter, all things video, Pat McAfee Show. And I know you guys are crazy busy. I really appreciate the time. Welcome in, guys.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Travis, yeah. Thank you for having us. Calling us the dream team was a bit of a stretch. And let me tell you, it caused quite the predicament in the office. But hey, it was very nice of you. I wouldn't call us the dream team, but the office loved it.
Yeah, we're only able to be considered the dream team because we both got lucky enough to be put into this position by Pat. So, you know, a little bit of a stretch, but we appreciate it nonetheless.
Well, I understand that it's the Pat McAfee Show. I totally get it. And I also understand that what goes into the production of these shows and my experience in working at the Golf Channel for 4 years, I'm full aware of all of the people that it takes to put on a great show, let alone just not just TV, but you guys are all over the place. I mean, the content and the amount of content, the quality of the content that you guys are putting out is really impressive. So you guys got a great team. I figured it would get a few laughs with the label of the dream team. I even saw a few GIFs of Larry Bird, and Carl Malone. And
Scott. Yeah, exactly.
I want to be John Stockton on that team.
Yeah, I'll be Chris Mullen.
Okay. There you go. All right, well, let's get into it. I mean, you guys are just blowing up here. I mean, every time I pick up my phone, get on Twitter, Instagram, you guys are in a different city, Indianapolis to New York, College Game Day, you name it, you guys are there. I mean, this just has to be an absolute whirlwind right now here in the fall through the winter.
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty surreal, obviously. Evan's had it much tougher than I am, you know, because I only deal with, like, the audio mostly. You know, I've made a lot of trips. I mean, for the entire fall there, we were going on, you know, like, 6 flights a week. Mm-hmm. So it was just nonstop, wow. go. But, yeah, Evan, you know, has been there, obviously, every step of the way, recording everything for the YouTube and all that kind of stuff. So it's been wild, man. It's tough to really even process what we've been through.
Yeah, and going on that, like Ty said, I do all the video stuff, but Ty, this is what I always tell him. He does something that never in a million years that I want to do. He edits the podcast that night, and sometimes we don't get done with those till like 2 a.m. He's up till 5 a.m. We wake up for radio at 8 a.m. He gets no sleep. I could not do that. I just film all day. That's kind of like my thing, and then I was making vlogs all fall. But yeah, like you said, we had 6 flights. Sunday, we'd fly to New York. Pat would be on Get Up on Mondays. Then we'd do our radio show at World Trade 4, and then we'd fly back to Indianapolis, and then either Tuesday, Wednesday, we would fly to the spot or wherever Pat was calling the Thursday night football game. So that was all over. We went to what? Stanford. We went to North Carolina.
North Carolina
times.
Several times. New Orleans, Texas. Houston. Yeah, it was just we were all over the U.S. the entire fall. Not to mention, you know, pit stops in places where Pat was doing like WWE spots. Yep. So a couple of these times, you know, we'd be in like 4 or 5 states in like, you know, the matter of like 2 to 3 days. So
and then about halfway through, so we would Thursday night after Pat called his Thursday night game, we'd fly back to Indianapolis, and about halfway through when he started doing College Game Day, he threw that in the mix. So Friday night we'd fly to the College Game Day spot, do that Saturday morning, and then fly back to Indianapolis, and then Sunday we were right back in New York. So it was madness. We're very, 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 very lucky to do it, and especially because it literally wouldn't be possible. We got to fly private the whole time. I know that sounds like a little bit of a flex, but it wouldn't be possible without doing that, and that's just like one of those things. Like, traveling with Pat, it's the best.
Yeah. Was there ever a time where you guys were like in the air coming back to Indy and the phone rang and you're like, up to the pilot, like, hey, excuse me, but can you make the, we have to actually go to Minneapolis now. Can you turn this thing?
No, there was nothing like that. There was one time where we were going to fly to Memphis for college game day. And then like a couple hours before, this is in one of the vlogs, a couple hours before, we literally just got done with radio on Friday. Pat gets a call from Triple H and they're like, hey, we need you in Buffalo for tonight's Friday night SmackDown on Fox. And so then we had to reroute, you know, we had to find a plane. Pat made a bunch of different phone calls. He actually ended up calling Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, who, you know, obviously Pat punted for, and he asked him for his plane. So Jim Irsay loaned us his plane. We flew to Buffalo. He did the show. Then that night, right after, flew straight to Memphis. We did college game day. So that was one of those moments that was like absolutely insane. And one of those like, I should not be here moments.
Now, I know you guys are working hard, but you're behind the scenes. I mean, you're not in front of the camera. So, like, if you're tired, you know, I mean, only Pat sees you and you guys see each other. I mean, does Pat ever sleep? I mean, he's always on. I mean,
sometimes. That's a very, very, very solid point. Like, I can mail it in from 10 to 12 on that radio show because I'm just switching cameras. I'm not really expected to talk all that much. Pat literally has to be on 24/7. Like, okay, just this Monday, we did the national championship in New Orleans. He woke up at 4 a.m. He did get up, and then we did our radio show, and then he did Marty Smith's radio show, and then he did college game day, and then he did a four-hour megacast for the national title game. That's literally – we got home at 5 a.m. He did 24 hours. And what, 20 of those hours he was actually on like live mics.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean it's absurd, you know. Yeah. Pat's put us all in a spot to like feel comfortable on the mic and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And feel like, you know, we've grown a lot and stuff like, but you know, even like those moments when, you know, he's not here in the room and we're talking to him, it's just like his energy is so infectious.
Yeah.
That everyone can feed off it, and it just naturally makes you better, you know, and brings you to a different level. So it's impossible to replicate that, you know, when if he's not, you know, bringing the juice every single day.
And that's the number one question I get from people when I travel with Pat that maybe have just met him or just been around him. They're like, is he like this all the time? And I shit you not. I don't know if I can swear. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
I shoot you not. I tell him 24/7, 365. That's just how he is at all times.
Yeah. So obviously everywhere. I mean, you guys have a great team. I mean, what's wrong with the dream team? I mean, what happened in the office there? I mean, fill me in. What's the issue?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess when you reference the dream team to me and him, you know, like we said, we're those guys who are like the 11th and 12th man on the, I mean, we're not the one sharing taking the line share of the shots, essentially is what, you know, I mean, that's Pat. If we're the dream team, Pat's Jordan and everyone else is kind of just floating around somewhere else, just trying to.
We're the water boys.
There you go.
A lot of it, people think like we do prep and we like have things ready for the show and stuff. Dude, a lot of times we just show up. I'm just cutting the cameras or filming something, and Pat just has it all in his brain ready to go. No prep, no writing, no anything. And he just goes. So we don't, like, a lot of people like to give us credit. Yeah. We work hard, but like, this isn't anything without that. Clearly.
Oh, no, that, and it wasn't implied that way, right? It was, and everyone knows Pat's the headliner, but I think he knows that he can't do it without you guys as well, I'm sure.
Plus, it's like a locker room environment. So anytime one of your boys in the locker room gets called the dream team, you're going to let them have it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And I said one leg of the dream team. I can't have everybody on that's at the conference.
That's a good point.
Travis, what about you? Do you have like a producer right now on that show?
No, man. I am the team.
Wow.
I
mean, this is good for you.
I am the team. Now I have a guy that you met, Alex Wolfick, who works for me. And does a lot of my social media stuff. But I mean, as far as, you know, putting this on, he'll do the back end editing of this, you know, from the podcast standpoint, once I ship him all the files like you would do, Ty. But yeah, my team's a little bit smaller. We're not we're still back there in 42D in Delta. we're we're still on the up and up, but that's all right.
No, yeah, I mean, that's admirable, you know, because yeah. like people, you know, people give you shit and say, but, you know, that is the one thing that I think a lot of people misconstrue or don't really understand is like they assume we're just out here like playing grab ass all the time, you know, because we have a basketball court in our office and stuff like that. And we do like we have a lot of fun, but like there's, you know, we put a lot into this. Like there's a lot of hard work that people don't see behind the scenes that, you know, can go unappreciated. So, you know, that's I mean, credit to you, man.
Yeah. So let me go back to when we all first met. So obviously I knew Pat was when he punted. I'm a, you know, a diehard NFL fan.
Yeah, you're a big Seahawks fan, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll get to that, Ty, like after the phone call is over. And Ty's a big Packer fan, everyone out there. So he's excited until Sunday until the 49. But anyway, when we first met, Pat sent he made a post and he tagged me and saying, what do I need to work on? And so I, you know, did a couple things. And then I built in a little skit, funny skit about Pat into what was something we call the 10-15 team time, which is just kind of a fun day for us on my platform. And in part of that, it was all in fun and good nature. It was kind of a little jab at a punter and a kicker. And like, you know, you can't leave practice and go over there and punt and kick while we're over here doing it. I need full dedication. Anyway, Pat took it the wrong way, apparently, and was pretty upset at me. At first, I was like, ah, he's kidding. But he was genuinely a little unhappy with me. And it sounds like even some of the dream team was as well.
I mean, I don't know about that. It's just, you know, like you put an extra chip on his shoulder. Like everyone just assumes, you know, because Pat punted that he isn't an incredible athlete. But obviously, as you know, that's definitely not the case.
No. So as the story goes, we got to Baja Mar and as fate has it, we were paired together.
Oh, yeah.
In the pro-am, but I saw him the night before and I went up to him, introduced myself, and I said, hey, Pat, Travis Fulton. And he just kind of looked at me and didn't say anything. and I said, Pat, I'm sorry for what I did in the skit. And he just looked at me and he smiled and he says, give me a hug. And I gave him a hug and here we are.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So all is good. So it was fun. We had a great time at the Baja Mar.
You did have a good time.
Yeah, yeah, a little too much fun. But you know, the thing that really just fascinated me the most about the whole event is I was really impressed by how good of players like all of the athletes were. I knew there was a few guys that could play like Ray Allen and Josh Scobie and others, but you know, I get up there and I watch Pat take a swing at it. And I'm like, dang, like Pat, like how much do you play? I don't ever play. I'm like, you got a good swing. Like really, like genuinely you have good technique. And I mean, he hit the ball fine. He played just fine. You know, Scottie Pippen matched up with one day and Pippen was a buzzsaw that day. Like,
yeah,
I mean, like, 5 birdies.
It was incredible. It was one of the craziest golf performances I've ever watched. And everyone had told us how bad of a golfer Scottie Pippen was. And everyone's like, Pat, you got us points for this. Mail it in. This one's easy. And Scottie Pippen came out, literally played one of the best rounds I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Kyle Williams, former defensive tackle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He shot one under, two under.
Shot 72. I mean, I watched most of it and I went up to him and said, Kyle, that was just a great round of golf. You know, I was taken back by the level of play. It was really cool stuff. It was a fun event. We had a lot to drink.
I was going to say, I was wondering, I had a question for you. How does it feel to be the drunkest guy in an entire country? I mean, we all were, but I think I saw you drink about 5 to 6 bottles of wine yourself. No. It was easy. I mean, it was flowing.
5 to 6 bottles of wine.
Yeah.
All I remember is the next day, you know, we were there, I don't know, 2 or 3 nights, whatever. And I had the 5:45 flight out. You know,
that's probably a mistake.
Yeah. The next morning and something like 31B middle seat. Right. And everybody was kind of around and I went up about probably 11 that night. And then the next morning had to, you know, I was on the road. I was down in the lobby about 3:30.
Yikes.
And as I'm rolling through with my golf bag at 3:30, I think I hear Pat's voice. And lo and behold, And I looked over and I think he was sitting in the same spot when I left at 11:30.
Hey, we had a good time at that casino. But I'll tell you what, Travis, first off, the event was awesome. Like you said, seeing all those NBA guys, NFL guys play golf. What I thought was crazy was just how much those guys like actually love golf. Like Darren Williams is obsessed with the game. But what I didn't understand is like all of us were drinking all day and the golf swings were going bad. You're out there drinking all day, still hitting 330 yard bombs.
Yeah, well, throwing darts out there.
Well, I only had to play the one day, and then which we would have won that pro am, by the way, unless the Lightning.
Without question.
Oh yeah.
I've always been, you know, I'm in the golf business. I teach. I have this, and you know, and but when I play anymore, I play casually. I'm not a serious golfer anymore. You know, I can still play okay, but I would rather play, have a good time, have a couple beers, be in good company like you guys. And just really enjoy the experience. I mean, personally, I'm not afraid to say it. I feel like I play better with a couple beers in me.
Oh, sure. Yeah, without question.
For sure. A couple beers, some vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
Let the body
loose. I certainly feel like I putt a little better. I don't know. It just kind of takes the edge off. You kind of, you know, let your hair down and just kind of play a little bit. But yeah, that was a great time. I hope to do it again. And I got to tell you, I really mean this. I think, and I know Pat loves the game, likes the game. I'm not sure if he loves it, but he's a great athlete. I mean, he's a phenomenal basketball player. When we stopped there in Indiana, I think he made like 10 three-pointers in a row on us.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we should really, in the spring and the summer, we got to dedicate some time. I want to fix that club face. I want to get it dialed in a little bit, and I want to get him in some of these celebrity events because I know he can compete.
Yeah, if he had more time, he would be a very, very, very good golfer. That's what we've always said. He knows it. I mean, he hits the ball. He also hits the ball, 330 on some – like, it's incredible. And he just goes out there barefoot and all and barely plays and then takes, like, four holes, and then he's dialed in.
Yeah,
and it's also tough, too, because, you know, like, Foxy and I would both like to play more as well, but also – Indianapolis, or at least kind of like near where we live, like the public golf situation, it really isn't that it's tough.
It's bad.
The public golf situation in Indy.
Yeah, at least, you know, because Evan and I both live downtown, and like, I mean, there are definitely some courses within, you know, 30 to 40 minutes or so, but around here, there's a lot of, you know, short nine hole, which I mean, better than nothing, but it's, you know, it's tough.
Yeah. Well, a little trip down here to Florida. You guys, anytime you're down here, we'll you can sneak it in between your private flights. We'll your private experiences in the air. We'll get on the links down here.
That's an idea.
Quick question for you about the Baja Mar. How do you get your involvement in that? Who reaches out to you and like, or is that something you like seek out?
Part of the Baja Mar event is CAA Sports, who does a lot of the operations side of that. So they reached out to me, invited me down.
Oh, nice.
I have a good relationship with them, and they wanted me to come down and kind of help out, cover it a little bit. So yeah, it was great. It was honestly one of the best golf experiences I've ever had.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was incredible.
I've been to tons of PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, and I'm telling you, I was sending pictures back to my wife and my friends. And my friend, I was walking with Brett Favre the first day for like 3 hours drinking Tito's and tonics, and take a video of myself and Favre in the background for a picture and send it to someone. And they're like, what are you doing? Like, playing in this event, walking with Favre and Pippen and Ray Allen and
legend,
these guys, and we're playing golf. And they're like, well, is it a tournament? Who's there? I was like, no one's here. It's a private event. And it's the most incredible experience and access I think I've ever had. It was absolutely amazing. I literally, you know, Ty, walked with Brett Favre.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, for me too, obviously, just like when you think of like seeing like, oh, you'll meet Rodgers, it'll be in like a passing moment where you shake his hand. It's like you get to sat around and you know, like drink with him, see him actually play golf in person. You know, I mean, if you would have told me going into that weekend that we would be taking a shot with Scottie Pippen after he just like dunked an eagle on Pat, like, I would have told you you're insane.
Yeah.
I think that sums up the entire job. Like, if you would have told me we'd do any of this, I would have said you're absolutely crazy. But we just got fortunate enough that, you know,
it's Pat cool stuff.
Kicked us on the dream team.
Exactly. Pointed us to the dream team.
I just want to interrupt this interview real quick and give a shout out to my friends over at Encore Golf. Encore provides some of the most cutting-edge technology in a golf ball that I have ever seen. Their team in Buffalo, New York is changing the script of golf technology through their perimeter-weighted designs, which offer players enhanced accuracy and control for every shot on the course. With their award-winning Elixir and Avant 55 golf balls, they are transforming the game for players of all skill levels. Visit encoregolf.com/Travis Fulton for more details about their products that are revolutionizing the game. Now back to the Stripe.
All right, now let's switch segues here for a minute. Evan, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
So rumor has it, high school golf team.
Yep.
You were called the bad boys of golf.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'll neither confirm nor deny that. It's more towards denying it. But no, we did do the high school golf. It was literally me and like all of my best friends. And the difference between us, it was our best high school team in my school's history. The difference between us and then the other team that was good in our league was they were a private school. We were a public school. They all got lessons. Literally none of us got lessons. We would just show up to the golf course. Our coach couldn't teach anything. Literally, if he was to teach you something, if you're hitting the ball right, he would say aim left. That was his only teaching he would do. So we just went out there and had a good time. And, you know, we were actually pretty good just because we played so much.
Yeah. The bad boys of golf. That's what you guys labeled yourself.
I don't think so. But hey, it kind of fits, I guess.
So when did you – so was that when you started? Was it in high school or was it before that?
I started in like seventh grade. I okay. played baseball, and then I started hating baseball because it's boring. And then mm-hmm. me and one of my buddies, we started golfing because we wanted to get jobs at the golf course. Like, that's like the only place in my small town where like kids that were like 14 could get a job. So we wanted to get jobs. We got those. And then that allowed you to have free golf at the golf course. And then we just played all the time. That's what we did in the summers.
So you saw your video analysis that I did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So did any of that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely made sense. First off, like that video I sent you was a bad ball, and now I'm having regrets. I wish I would have sent you a good ball to see like what else you could have corrected. I mean, I got a lot of problems, Travis. I only hit the ball like 260 yards max. Like, I don't have any power. And like you said, like I was like halting in my swing. You know what I mean?
Well, because so two things. One is we had fun with it, of course.
Oh, yeah.
It was a bit of a roast, but it was the offsides of the head is, you know, you weren't tilted. So like when you hit your driver and you play the ball off your left heel, you want to tilt your spine away from it. So your spine's like tilted to the right. So your head's way, you know, well behind the ball. Right.
Okay.
And like, so that's a big one. So your head was kind of more over it, which is a big time power.
I didn't even know that. So that's going to help immediately.
Yeah. And then the second thing, and I got something for you too, Ty, when that boomerang that you sent me.
Yeah.
So, and then the second thing is that when you take it back, and I was talking about the left hand knuckles rolling up to the sky, like if you keep your lead hand knuckles and you keep them turned more down to the ground, yep. so if it feels like the club face is going to be more shut,
yep.
then those two things, the tilt in the spine and the back of the left hand knuckles down to the ground, that's a game changer for you.
I'm literally doing it in the studio right now.
Oh yeah,
so air swinging. People say air swings are 100% perfect every time. I just hit probably 220. What do you call it? Your baby draw? Operation baby draw.
Operation baby.
I think
draw.
I already have it. I think we're already there.
OBD baby, operation baby draw. That's you are the reason that I created that program. That your swing is a good example of that. Head in front, club face opens up. Then you're just kind of in catch-up mode, and you're trying to always compensate for that.
I'm glad I could do that for you.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, you fit right into the statistic for sure.
How much harder is it to analyze a video of a swing like that versus like being in person? Like, does it make any difference?
Oh, no, it's a lot easier because you can just spout out whatever you want and you don't have to ever see him again.
I respect that.
That's a good point.
I mean, as far as fixing it and having a long time lasting impact on it, I mean, having someone in front of you that you can really maneuver and change and kind of work through the difference in the feel and ball flight, like that's how you really make the change. But honestly, though, it's amazing long distance what you can do. And I teach a lot of people long distance. I just met a kid yesterday for the first time, very good player, mm-hmm. lefty. You'll see some of his swings on my Instagram. But he, we've worked together long distance for 6 months, and yesterday was the first time we've ever worked together. And he's made incredible changes.
That's wild.
Yeah. That's a game changer. Head behind it, club face more square going back. It's going to feel closed. Off you go. You'll probably hit a few left initially, but I think you'll work it out. And I'm going to go ahead and say easily 15 to 20 yards longer.
I need that. I need that. And I need the OBD, baby.
Okay. Invoice is in the mail. So Ty.
Yeah.
Lefty. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to start with this with you. Okay. So you got to tell, I heard this and I didn't believe it. And then I did a little more fact checking. You chose Iowa over Harvard.
I mean, yeah, you could say that. I was always going to want to go to Iowa. I had pretty good scores. I had good grades coming out of high school. Yeah, I could have, but I chose. I mean, you know, hey, tuition's expensive. I'm from Iowa. My older brother went to Iowa. My oldest brother went to Iowa. I took a college visit there, you know, my sophomore year, my junior year. I loved Iowa City. And you know, mm-hmm. Truth be told, I didn't want to be that far away from home.
But you were accepted at Harvard.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know if I know very many people that were accepted at Harvard.
Ty's the only one I know. He's very, 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 very smart.
I'm trying to think right now if I know of anybody else. I'm not sure I do.
Ty has this like memory thing where he can just like pull out any kind of, especially with movies or show references, he knows them all. Like literally knows like quotes from the movies.
You know what I love about you the most, Ty?
What's that?
Is how you get after people on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always kind of just, and obviously, you know, like you get put in this situation because, you know, I mean, two, 3 years ago, Evan and I, you know, on Twitter, like you could say whatever you want and there's no interaction whatsoever. And now it's like, you know, you say the same things that you've, you know, probably always been inclined to say, and you just get the horde, the mass coming after you. And now, you know, when you actually get empowered to put into a position where it's like, you know what? No, I'm not going to let that shit slide. Like this guy said something. I mean, it's just, it's hard. The way it goes, you know,
and it's hard.
You know it. Cause I'm sure you get it a lot from people too, especially with golf. I mean, everyone wants to just hate and bitch on about anything. Yep. So, you know, sometimes, yeah, you need to make an example of some people.
Ty saws people down better than anyone I've ever met.
Oh my God. I've laughed out loud at least a dozen times, Ty. from your tweets, and just brilliantly put. I mean, like the way that you put it out there for him. it's a thing of beauty. I wish I could be more like that. And you know, it's hard though. I mean, it's, you know, there's so many times that you just want to just start firing stuff off. I walk away from it a lot, but
I need to do a better job of that too, because it just, you know, because that in the end, like that's all that person wants from you is just a response anyway.
Yeah.
And you know, if they even sense a little bit that like it gets under your skin, you know, then you get in a bad position. And now it gets to the point too, where like, if you have some legitimacy with it and you actually make a guy eat shit, you know, like then the people that follow you will kind of just pile on and do the work for you.
And what's interesting too with like Pat's following that kind of has followed me and Ty a little bit more now is like majority of them are so positive, so nice, and everyone is all for the same reason, you know. And that's when you get that every once in a while, that jackass in there.
Yeah.
And it makes it hard not to go at. I don't really do it because I can't put it as eloquently as Ty does. But
yeah, I just had a situation where I posted a stinger shot a couple of days ago. And a stinger is like this low flighted, like iron off the tee. Right.
Right.
And I hit it good. But it came up maybe a touch higher than like, you know, a Tiger Woods stinger, right? Like, sorry, I'm not Tiger. Like if I was, I'd be out there playing golf right now for a living. And I got, I mean, easily a dozen to 15, you know, you need to learn how to hit a stinger. You need, you know, I mean, just like, I mean, piling on this flight that came up maybe a click higher than what you're used to seeing out of Rory McIlroy, you know, on the TV. And it just went on and on and on. It's just like, man, like,
well, with golf especially, Travis, everyone on the internet's a professional.
Yeah.
You post your swing, you post the shot, you post the putt, you post anything, people are going to rip it apart no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to walk away sometimes. And sometimes I engage and I'm just like, man, you should teach. You know, how long you been teaching?
True.
And, you know, sometimes it goes on to, Oh, yeah, you know, I thought about it. You know, I really thought about it, and, you know, it's like, okay.
And I think, you know, that is one thing that this job has helped me with a lot in that, because most of the stuff we're dealing with, it is sports. You know, it's just kind of like one take against another one. So that's a little bit easier to tune out just because it's, you know, oh, this guy doesn't like the team I'm talking about, et cetera, et cetera. Generally more geared towards that than it is anything personal, which makes it easy to separate, you know?
Yeah. So tell me about your golf game. You're a lefty. I saw it.
Yeah. So I grew up, my backyard was like adjacent to a golf course. So a lot of times my dad and my little brother and I, we'd go out there and I would play like holes 6, 7, and 9. Like I would do that almost every night, you know, for a very young age. But I didn't really play that much in high school. Iowa has summer baseball. So, you know, I mean, the courses were very, very, I mean, very nice. Like we had a very good public golf setup, but you know, I mean, in Iowa, always shitty conditions, cold, like not really fun to be out there. And we were getting ready for baseball. So I didn't really play, you know, like competitively that much in high school after my freshman year. But it's something that I've been doing, you know, since I was 5 years old. Like, you know, I used to play every single day in the summer before noon. Yeah. So, I've played quite a bit of golf. Not as much, obviously, in the last couple of years as I'd like to. But it's still, you know, something anytime I go home, my brothers and my dad and I will get together and, you know, go play 18 and have a couple beers. So
who do you guys what do you guys like on tour? Who are some of your favorites?
Tiger's
like?
Given.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Tiger.
We're big John Daly fans in this office.
Obviously. I used to really like Spieth. I don't know why, for whatever reason. I feel like I've liked him less and less over the last couple of years. I do really like Koepka, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Brooks, any guy that, you know, isn't going to let stuff slide and talk a little shit like he will and then back it up on the course is awesome. But
I've always been a McIlroy guy, and I know he's kind of soft, but I just think that when he's at his best, I don't think anyone can touch him. And I just love his swing. I think he has the best swing on the tour.
What do you guys think of Patrick Reed?
It's tough not to think that he's kind of a prick, right? I mean, that's especially when you get all these stories that are continually coming out about like guys on tour not like him and like, you know, reporters. And it seems like he's just rubbed so many people the wrong way that at some point that stops being like a narrative. And it's just the truth. Like the guy's just he's just a prick.
Yeah,
it's well said.
There's probably no one like that in the industry you guys are in right now, right?
Of course not.
How about here's another one. How about what do you think of DeChambeau? He's all buff now. I'm figuring him out still.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out if I love what he's doing or if I hate what he's doing. He seemed like he's trying to humanize himself by being boys with like Riggs and those guys at Barstool on the Foreplay Pod. And like the stuff he did with them, I kind of enjoyed, but I don't know. He still might just be kind of a dork.
Yeah, and I don't like the thing that bothers me most is guys who play slow, and you know, he's getting out the yardage book and he's breaking down the isosceles triangles and degrees of separation. It's like, just hit the ball for Christ's sake.
I like golfers that are athletes. So you got Dustin Johnson. He can like dunk a basketball. Koepka's an athlete. Like I like those kind of guys. And DeChambeau is the opposite of that, you know? Well,
I mean, there's always been athletic people in the game, but it's certainly more of an athletic game now. I can tell you since I've been in it and following it, teaching it, it's a speed game now. So you get guys that, you know, like the Koepkas and the DJs, the Tony Finaus, you know, these guys can come in, they know how to create speed. And then from there, they know how to obviously control it too. They have the finesse game that goes with it. It's a power game now, and I don't see it changing. I only see it going longer and longer. I mean, these guys hit at astronomical distances, but it's cool to see Tiger back now and giving these boys a go. And I just think, honestly, I think it's a matter of time before he gets back to number one in the world again. It's a matter of time. He's on his way. He feels good. He looks good.
Do you think that he realistically has a shot to win another major anywhere but Augusta, though? Like, that's what I feel like. I'm hoping that I'm wrong, but I feel like at this point with Tiger, we're just hoping that he wins the Masters every year, because I just don't know, you know, if he can. I don't know. He just knows Augusta so well, and I feel like anytime they go somewhere else, then we're looking at missing cuts, and you see Koepka dominating, you know, from wire to wire and stuff like that. I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, I think, you know, I would say the PGA for sure. I mean, he almost won the PGA the year before he won Augusta. You know, Koepka got him at the end.
Yeah.
But I think the PGA to May hurts Tiger because you can still run the risk of colder weather, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think it's got to be warm. I mean, cold weather is not good for anybody that has an ailing back.
Right.
So I agree, Ty, in that Augusta is the, no question, the number one spot, but you need some heat. I mean, where, you know, it's got to be warm at the PGA. It's got to be warm at the US Open. You know, who knows at the Open Championship, rain, cold, wind, like that's not good for Tiger right now.
Right.
But if he's healthy, if it's warm and he's getting reps in practice wise, he can win anywhere. I mean, he still has all the shots. He's still long enough. When he was at in Australia for the President's Cup, when he stepped up to number one and ripped his driver down the middle with a draw, it was like, that's if Tiger's stepping up to number one, hitting a high draw with a driver down the middle, the boys have got problems because when Tiger hits a fairway, number one, like when he's hitting fairways, you're in trouble. But that draw with the driver is the hardest shot for him.
He does always stink on the first hole.
Yeah, he's awful in the first hole. Yeah.
I don't get that.
Yeah, he's awful. And he struggles right to left with his driver. He can move his three wood, but so first hole, power draw, like with the driver, I'm like, I almost fell off my couch. I was like, uh-oh, like these boys are in trouble because Tiger's feeling really, really good if that's the case.
I got a question for you. How about Tiger's son, Charlie? Did you see his swing? Would you think about that?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks good, right?
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks good. It's going to be a player.
And, I would assume so.
And who knows, right? I mean, your dad's Tiger Woods and has conquered the world on the golf course. But if he could clip off 16 majors, if he could get number 16 this year, we've got a real discussion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a real discussion that he can get to 18 for sure. And I do think he'll win a couple times this year. Obviously, it all depends on his health, but yep. You know, some characters out there, it's fun. I like the storylines in golf. I like the banner between Brooks and Rory. Now you got it between, you know, Bryson and Brooks. And
oh yeah,
you probably saw the situation with Cameron Smith and Patrick Reed. Cameron Smith calling him out, you know.
It's, yep.
You know, you guys are in other sports. You're used to it, that kind of stuff in other sports. You know, in golf, you know, people push back on that stuff, and you see the tour, I think, kind of coming down on Cameron Smith. You know, it's
which
like,
they shouldn't do. At the end of the day, everyone likes trash talk, no matter what. Even if it's a gentleman's game, you got to let it happen because it does bring people to the game.
I think so. I think it's a good thing. I like it. You talk. It's fun. It's interesting, right? You don't have that loyalty to the team like Ty does the Green Bay, or you know, like Pat does the Indy. And, you know, for me in Seattle, it's like so that kind of takes care of itself, right? That trash talking and because you have so much history built into it. But in golf, when it happens, gosh, I agree. I think we should steer into it a little bit more. And I think it's good. I think it's good talk. It's good for the game. I don't agree with Patrick Reed and what he does, but I think Patrick Reed's great for golf.
I agree.
Yeah. Any opportunity to show more emotion from these guys than just like them being super stoic and, you know, doing that all the time. Like that's what people want. Like, I mean, you want to imagine that you could see that guy, you know, at your local Muni, like playing on Sunday.
Yeah. All right. Little three word game. Little something we do here. Finish off each show. I'm going to say something and then you're going to give me three words, whatever comes to mind.
Okay.
And then we can, you know, the other guy can follow up on it if he wants.
All right.
Ty, starting with you.
All right.
Aaron Rodgers.
Best quarterback ever.
Oh, my God. We're going to stop.
That's good.
Are you serious? I mean, serious.
In terms of just pure skill of throwing the football and like being a complete package as a quarterback, yeah, I think so. I think he's the throws he's made over the course of his career, I don't think anyone else is in the same category. Obviously, I have to give you some shit. You know, I didn't even know you were a big Seahawks fan. Russell Wilson is incredible. He is. He's incredible. Sorry. Rodgers is in a different stratosphere when he is playing on all cylinders than any other guy in the league outside of maybe Patrick Mahomes right now.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers is a better leader than Russell Wilson?
Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. I don't know, because I don't know if the Seattle locker room's buying into what Russell Wilson's saying.
Like, he's phony.
He could be phony. He says the cliches. He says the right things. And a lot of guys might just look at him and laugh, whereas Rodgers is back there. And, like, some people kind of look at him like he might be a little bit of, like, snobby. But at the end of the day, I want my leader to be real. And if as long as Aaron's real, that's who I want to go to war with.
And he's living off the chip on the shoulder from being like a third round draft pick. But the last however many years, all anyone's done is, you know, talked about how great he's been. Like now Rodgers had just constantly has to deal with these guys in the media telling him that he sucks and that he's past his prime. Like, I feel like he's ready to just let me just say that it's going to be a lot closer on Sunday than everyone thinks. I don't know when this is coming out, but the NFC Championship.
And from our perspective, like, at Pat being our boss, like, he is our leader. If he was up there being like Russell Wilson, doing a bunch of cliches and just kind of feeding us bullshit, that'd be tough to handle. But he obviously does not do that. I would say he's more like Rodgers, where he's just going to give it to us clean, and we get to work for that man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not for everybody, that's for sure. I don't think Aaron Styles for everybody, and I don't think I don't think Russell Styles for everybody. It's interesting how franchises are formed, you know, with different leaders and faces and whatnot, including this next guy. Evan, I'll give you this one. Andrew Luck.
Gone too soon.
Well said.
Gone too soon. I moved to Indy. What? We've been here almost 3 years now.
Yeah.
And I'm normally a Lions fan, diehard Lions fan. It's been a tough life. And moving from Michigan to Indy was the first time I moved out of state. So Indianapolis kind of became my second team. Pat always talks about him on the show, obviously. So I started to like them. And so I started liking Andrew Luck just because he's incredible. And then once he says that he's retiring literally a week before the season starts, yeah, just he's just gone too soon. It's a shame for the city. Jacoby Brissett came in and did well, but I mean, that team would have been a playoff team for sure with Luck.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, it's crazy. That's something that I will never forget. Like we went out downtown in Indy the night that Luck retired. And you know, obviously no one saw it coming. So like when you're sitting in the bar there, you just start to notice all the faces of these Colts fans, like realizing what had just happened. Like it was almost like a scene out of Bird Box. Like I thought people were gonna start like smashing their head into windows and like walking into traffic. It was insane.
Yeah, I was out to dinner and you could just feel a buzz and a chatter starts going. I look up at the TV, it says Andrew Luck retired. It's unbelievable. And like I said, I'm a Lions fan, so I saw Calvin Johnson do it. I didn't see Barry Sanders do it, but I get it. And I'm afraid, and I hope it's not true with Matthew Stafford having a broken back, that he's not next. But that's how it goes, man. It's like Luke Kuechly just retired. These guys are ending their careers early. Pat did. Yeah. I mean, shit.
Yeah, Pat, Gronk. I mean, it's there's going to be more coming, too. That's for sure. All right, Lions fan, I got another one for you.
Yep.
I'm debating here between
those guys stink. How about that?
I'm debating between Matt McMillan and Matthew Stafford.
Oh, let me think of one. I got one for Matthew Stafford, and I'm going to say best Lion ever. I think he's the best player to ever come through the franchise. I'm not saying most talented, because Barry Sanders was incredible. Calvin Johnson was incredible. But from his 10 years, he literally was drafted to the worst team of all time, the first team to ever go 0-16. Matthew Stafford next year was the first pick. And from then on, he's battled through terrible offensive lines. He's battled through injuries. He's battled through terrible defenses. I mean, you name it. And he's gotten these guys a couple years in the playoffs, a couple years where they literally, I think without him, would go 0-16 every year. This year, when he got hurt, they lost every single game after that. So in my opinion, I'm only 25. He's the best Lion ever.
I don't know what kind of crazy juice you guys are drinking in the NFC North up there, man. But you guys are you guys are coming up with some crazy answers.
No way. Hey, we're still alive. We're still alive, baby.
That's what it's all about.
Okay. Ty, back to you. Twitter trolls.
Eat shit, punk. Or dweeb or stooge or whatever you want to say, but you put a nice eat shit in front of it, and mostly, you know, that's just a good comeback.
Oh man. Back to you one more here, Ty. How about Donald Driver?
Tough and consistent.
Nice. Well said.
Yeah.
I think Favre broke like every one of his fingers on both hands like multiple times. One of the him, Jordy Nelson, and maybe Sterling Sharp up there in the pantheon of best Packer receivers ever.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a player, right? I mean, he just seemed to always be there in the moments. Mm-hmm. Donald Driver, like you're always saying his name, it felt like, in the big games.
Just the model of consistency.
Yeah,
he was healthy for so long, played like, you know, for 10 years with, or maybe not that long, 8 years with Favre, played with Rodgers too. One of the best Packers ever.
So what do you think of Greg Jennings? I mean, he's kind of aired out some dirt on Aaron. What are your thoughts of that Packer?
Yeah, I don't get him because Greg Jennings wasn't worth a shit when he left Green Bay. So I think you could argue that Rodgers was the, you know, big, if not sole reason why he was so good. So I don't know. You very rarely you see anyone in Green Bay have anything bad to say about Rodgers when they leave the organization, but it is what it is. I get it. You know, I mean, he's in the same business we are now, where it's like, you know, you guess what? That moves the needle. You know, you say that you're going to be on Cowherd the next day and all that kind of stuff. So I get it.
Last one for both of you, your boss, Pat McAfee.
Best boss ever. Best boss ever. Yeah. Travis.
Well said.
That's tough.
You could say absolute content machine.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, that's the only reason I have a job. I literally follow him around and film his entire life because he's like that 24/7. It's pure entertainment. And that's like one of those things where I'm always like, hey, I just don't want to mess up that everyone's like, oh, you're a good editor. No, I'm not a good editor. I just have very, 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 very good content to work with.
Yeah,
without question. I mean, the reality of it is, you know, if not for this situation, Foxy'd be, you know, doing videos somewhere, you know, for some business company or something like that. And I'd be in sales. And obviously we busted our asses to get here and worked really hard. But, you know, without Pat, you know, we're not doing all this incredible stuff that we get to do. I mean, it's stuff that we'll look back on in 20 years and just kind of shake your head and, you know, try to process it.
Yeah. Well, you guys are doing great work, man. I'm a fan. I follow the Pat McAfee Show on Twitter, Instagram,
YouTube.
Yep.
You guys are on YouTube, ESPN, XFL. Am I right? Coming up.
That's up in the air.
Okay.
I don't know. I probably can't say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the XFL. That's up in the air. I mean, I can.
We don't know, is what I'm saying.
I can pretty much name anything at this point, and he's probably has the opportunity to play some role in it.
Facts. Yeah, that's a very factual statement.
You know, I mean, last time, I wouldn't be surprised if he showed up in the booth this weekend at the American Express tournament out in.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Out in La Quinta, California. I mean, anyway. All right, guys, I appreciate it. All the best. Tell Pat thank you for letting me steal two parts of the Dream Team, and we'll see you boys down in the Bahamas again here soon.
Yeah, hopefully. Have a good one, Travis.
All right, guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Stripe Show podcast. I'm Travis Fulton. We'll see you next time.